Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
But you know, I reckon we're living in an age where there are more things to stimulate our senses than ever before. How many of you reckon? Like, sensory overload's a thing. You know what I'm talking about? Right, wherever you go, it feels like your senses are constantly being fired up in the pace of life that we're living. Smartphone devices that ding all the time. Hello? Yeah, notifications, there's like ads on TV, there's sponsored ads on your phone. When you go to shopping malls, there's like LED screens just yelling at you, look at me, watch me, give me your attention. We want your focus. I mean, like, even if you think about everyday life, the things that grab us are emails, text messages, WhatsApp messages, Snapchat notifications, Instagram messages, Facebook posts, Messenger messages. That's just all on your phone right now, right? But when it comes to God needing to get our attention, how many of you know that sometimes our attention is so easily grabbed by the things that are not God, but God is madly trying to get our attention and He misses out on actually engaging with us? My great prayer, I don't know about you guys, but my great prayer is, Lord, help me never to miss out. Help me never to miss out on You. Help me never to miss out on what You want to say to me. Help me never to miss out on when You want to speak to me. And so tonight I want to just unpack a little bit of this. And so tonight, if you're new to the Christian faith, maybe you've never been to church before, as believers, we believe that when we have relationship with God, He can actually speak to us. And how many of you know that in a world where it is dark and chaotic and directionless and visionless, that is an incredible gift. To have a God who is not interested in our religious work or religious behavior, but He wants to interact with us in a real and living way. That is a complete gift to us, and God wants to do the same for you. I reckon the greatest enemy of our God moments, the moments where God wants to encounter us and we are to encounter God, is not the devil. I reckon the greatest enemy of our God moments is often what else we're doing with our lives. How many of you reckon that? It's what else we're doing with our lives that often steals us away or is at odds or at enmity with God encountering us. Today, I want to take you to a text in Exodus chapter 3. I want to do some flat-out teaching tonight. Is that okay? And I want to have a conversation around some learnings that we have that a guy called Moses has with God. And we're turning to Exodus chapter 3. I want to speak to you tonight on your burning bush moment. Your burning bush moment. That title is going to make sense as we open the Bible, Exodus chapter 3, reading from verse 1. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. So we immediately know that this Moses right now in his life is a shepherd. He's tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So we looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed, or the bush was not burning up. It was burning, but it was not burning up. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside. Say, turn aside. And see this great sight. Say, see this great sight. Very important detail. Why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, really important, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. All keen, right? Then he said, being God said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. An incredible account of God speaking to a man, an ordinary guy, who, as we know in Exodus chapter 3, he's just a shepherd. If you don't know who Moses is, he was quite an extraordinary character in the Bible. If you could divide Moses' life up in three chapters, scholars believe that the first 40 years was spent in a nation called Egypt, second 40 years was spent in a nation called Midian or a region called Midian, and the third 40 years was kind of a mixture of Egypt and then in a place called the wilderness. We happen upon this account here in Exodus chapter 3, where he's in the back end of the second lot of the 40 years of his life. Moses was an orphan Jew that was left and abandoned by his mom and was raised in the Egyptian palace because he was adopted by the Egyptian princess as a Jew, as an Egyptian. So here he was feeling a little bit misfit. Like he's in a place, but he never quite felt like he belonged. How many of you have been in that place in your life? So here he is, he's an ethnic Jew, but raised as an Egyptian. To make matters worse, he was conflicted every day because he saw how the people that raised him treated the people of his own race. the Jews at the time were enslaved by Egyptians as slaves, and they were brutally treated. They were mistreated. They were beaten up. The Egyptians were very unkind to the Jewish people, so much so that towards the back end of his time in Egypt, he witnesses an Egyptian slave driver beating up on one of the Jewish slaves, that he was so incensed by that, he enters into a scuffle with the Egyptian slave driver, ends up killing him. So now he's guilty of manslaughter. And now he runs to a place called Midian, and for 40 years, he settles into life in Midian away from the place of his pain and the place of his shame and the place of his guilt in this place called Midian. He marries a daughter of a Midian priest called Jethro. His wife's name is Zipporah. They kind of settle in. They have kids. He's now a goat herder. 40 years of doing the same thing kind of settles you in into life, doesn't it? He has a daily routine. Now, it might not be the most stressful job, but it is a full day. He would have, I can imagine, waking up really early and having breakfast and, you know, brushing his teeth and all. I don't know how many of you do it the other way around. You brush your teeth first, have breakfast, brush your teeth first. How many of you brush your teeth first? Not an important detail. I just wanted to know. It's just a bit of trivia. I should do like an Instagram poll because I love it. Gets on with it, moves goats and sheep from one paddock or one side of the desert to another, one patch of grass to another. And he's in his daily routine. On this one day, he witnesses a bush burning on his usual route of moving sheep and goats from one patch of grass to the other in the desert. Now, it is not an uncommon thing in and of itself to witness a bush burning. Midianite shepherds see that all the time. In certain seasons in the Middle East, bush does spontaneously combust in the heat because that's what happens. So it is not an uncommon occurrence for the bush to be burning. Moses was doing the everyday thing, witnessing something that was relatively common, but what transpires from here is really important. He encounters God. God speaks to him, not because he sees a bush burning, but because he actually was prepared to stop, turn aside, look, and go a little deeper, and maybe find out whether God is actually in the mundane and everyday life. See, when we think about God speaking to us, we often think conference. Which is great. God does speak to us at conference. We often think, get the prophet in. Oh, and then the 5 p.m. service is going to be real packed because everybody wants a word from God. Or we think, man, absolutely traveling evangelists coming, like, you know, we're packing out Optus Stadium or like the Perth Arena. Absolutely fantastic, you know. And when we think about God speaking to us, we always think about spectacular. Now, I'm not discounting the spectacular because God actually does use that. But can I suggest to you that you can have a burning bush moment every day? You can actually have God encounter you, speak with you in the things that you might dismiss as like, that is just stuff that, you know. But the point is, you've got to allow God to interrupt you when it suits Him. We like God to speak to us when it suits us. How about we allow God to have burning bush moments with us when it suits Him? Because, you know, it would be fantastic for us. It would be great if God could just speak to me like between 6:30 a.m. and 7 a.m. That would be fantastic. When I've just woken up, I've got my lemon water because I've come off caffeine. Don't know why you needed to know that. I just needed to just, you know, maybe convict a few people, caffeine addicts out there. But at 6:30 a.m. to 7 a.m., it's like a nice good time where I've just, you know, brushed my teeth, feeling a little bit fresh. You know how you just brush your teeth, you just feel a little bit fresh? A little bit fresh, so are you ready? You know what I mean? Like you're pondering the God thing and all of that. But then like 7 o'clock, then it's ready, it's on. It's like you're making lunches for the kids and like you're showering, you get ready for work. Don't talk to me after that, God, because I'm busy. I'm getting on with my day. But like I set aside time to spend time with you, God. Maybe you can meet me there. But you know, God doesn't work that way. Here in Exodus chapter 3, God speaks to Moses in the middle of his work day, in a seemingly very common occurrence of a bush burning. Here's the first learning that we find from Exodus chapter 3, that your burning bush moments will really happen at a convenient time. If you're looking for God to speak to you at a convenient time, it'll never happen. But if you expect God to speak to you at any time, it could happen at any time. Come on, are you out there? When was the last time in your everyday mundane routine that you actually let God interrupt you? When was the last time you had a change of expectation and thought, God, I'm waking up today and I've got a whole day with you. You are free to interrupt me and speak with me at any time. When I'm dropping the kids off at school, when I'm picking up my coffee from my barista. Come on, are you out there? When I'm just getting about my daily routine, when I'm putting the washing away. God can actually have a burning bush moment with you when it suits Him. It could be when you're actually staring out at the sunset, God can speak to you. When you're looking at a cloud formation, God can speak to you. When you're just saying hello to the person that's in the same carriage and the same train that you take every day to work, God can actually be in that. When was the last time you actually looked up from your phone and turned aside and looked and see if God's actually in the everyday situations and moments all around you? Come on, are you out there? Here's the thing, right? Everybody thinks that God spoke to Moses out of the bush. And so Moses stopped and just was just filled with reverence. If you actually read the order, it wasn't like that at all. He sees the bush burning. He stops, turns aside, looks, and upon closer inspection, then God reveals that he's in the bush. It says here in Exodus 3, verse 4, "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look," "then God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.'" So many of us want God just to stop us in our tracks to make it obvious. But God's actually waiting for you to turn aside and actually look up from your phone and look at the barista, the person, the human behind the service that you're paying for. Come on, are you out there? To actually look up from your phone and see that lady who sits in the same seat, in the same carriage, on the same train, at the same 7:20 a.m. route, come on, that takes you to work. Maybe God is in that situation. See, we dismiss so much of that God is actually in the mundane and the everyday because we think that God can only come in the spectacular. When the prophet comes into the service, or when there's like a big conference, you know, and it's great to have that expectation, but why can't we have expectations of burning bush moments all the time? In the everyday, in the daily routine of our lives. When the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." Wow. See, God will only ever reveal himself to us when we're prepared to first turn aside to look. When we're prepared to be interrupted. When we have expectations that, "God, you're actually going to speak to me today, even though my day, when I look at my schedule, looks pretty mundane. It looks just like any other day. Why can't today be the day that I have a burning bush moment with you?" See, he doesn't want your compulsion. That's why, you know, he won't come like a bolt out of the sky. Sometimes he does, but he rarely does. He doesn't want the compulsion of your attention. He wants your responsiveness. He wants your willingness to go, "God, I'm open to you speaking to me today." And if God has to continually interrupt you with the spectacular, then he's forcing you. He's no different to the dings on your phone. You're reducing God to a WhatsApp notification that has to ding to get your attention. Hello. You're reducing him to an iMessage beep on your phone. But God's not like that. He doesn't want your compulsion of your attention. He wants your responsiveness. Say, "God, I'm open to you today." Do I get a resounding amen? Your burning bush experience can actually be today at church. What did you expect when you came into church today? Was it just another 5 p.m. service? I'm ticking off the box. PK's preaching again. Or did you come with an expectation that God could have a burning bush moment with you tonight? "Oh, no, I just sit in my corner over here on like the fourth row from the back. And look, I always sit in the back row because, you know, like no one sees me come in. No one's going to see me go out." God can have a burning bush moment with you tonight if you expect it. In the everyday occurrences, here's our second learning from Exodus chapter 3. God can speak to us out of seemingly common everyday occurrences. He can speak to you out of the normal, nothing out of the ordinary, potentially nothing to see. That was what the burning bush moment was all about. Really nothing to see there. And yet Moses stopped, looked. Maybe today there is a God thing over that. Thing that I see all the time, this bush that is burning. He walks a little closer. Then the voice of God reveals himself to Moses. "Moses, Moses, here I am." How many of you are ready for God to speak to you? How many of you are ready between now and the end of the year for God to speak to you about your coming year? How many of you want God to speak to you about coming? You don't need, I love prophets and there is an office of the prophets that I honor, but you don't need a prophet to stand up here to call you out by name, to go, you know, "Tracy Kelsey, you're going to change the world, blah, 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 you're amazing." You receive that when it comes, but you actually don't need that. How many of you know that you can have your burning bush moment right now between now and the end of the year if you're willing to stop, turn aside, and allow God to reveal himself to you in the everyday? God speaking to us is one thing, though. Are we prepared to hear what he's saying? Because here is Moses, right? He turns aside and God says, Moses, Moses, calls him by name. That's awesome. How many of you want to be called by name by God? Woo! The creator of the universe called me by name. No wonder. Moses replied, here I am. It's like God with a face palm said, I know you're there. You're the only one here, bro. Seriously. So like he's all keen. But then God actually starts to speak to Moses. And the first thing that God starts to say, he doesn't always want to hear. Like, it's one thing to want to hear from God. It's another thing to actually listen to what he's saying. And I can promise you there are some things that God might say to us that we might not want to hear. The first thing that God says to Moses, God actually goes all Asian auntie on him. You take your shoes off first up before you come in. See, I imagine if Shemin's mum was God, That was what God would sound like. You take your shoes off, sir, before you come in. And then he goes on to say this. I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, verse 7. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Verse 9, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, says God, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing. Now, by this time, if I was Moses, I would have thought to myself, that's all nice, God, but what has that got anything to do with me? God, I know you're speaking, but what has this got anything to do with me? Can you tell me something about my life? But God is speaking, and you can imagine Moses trying to make sense of, well, why are you telling me this? Nice of you to have a burden for people, God. But, you know, I thought that if you were going to have this burning bush moment, you'd actually come up with some awesome prophetic word for my life or something like that. But what are you telling me about these people? And then God says, so now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now he's not so keen anymore on hearing the voice of God. But God said to Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites up out of Egypt? Let me help you in this account. Here is Moses. He's happy in Midian. He's married to Zippo. It's a really great marriage. They have a good thing going. They got kids, routine, herding goats from one patch to the other. And he's got this burning bush that is speaking to him. And, you know, it's the voice of God. This is a good day. God is speaking to me like in the everyday. This is great, right? Now, and then God starts to tell him about Egypt. Now, you got to understand, like, if we read this, you go, what's wrong with you, Moses, like Egypt? You got to understand what Egypt represented to Moses. This was the place where he spent the first 40 years of his life as a misfit. It's the place of his former pain, where he is guilty of manslaughter. It's a place of his shame. Is the place where he probably had PTSD witnessing some of the things of what the people that raised him did to the people of his ethnicity. You understand that? And here is Moses, and he's been confronted by God, and he's actually seeing, again, these flashbacks as God is telling him about his burden for his own people in the nation that he's trying to run away from. It's one thing for God to speak to us. It's another thing to actually listen to what he's saying. And I want to ask you tonight, if he speaks to you, will you actually listen? If God actually speaks to you about your life, about the coming year, will you actually listen? Because it's one thing to hear God's voice. It's another thing to actually listen and obey God's voice. I don't know about you, but if I was Moses and like a bush that is God, that is burning, that is speaking to me, I'd be expecting God to say something like, Moses, you're just awesome, bro. You're just like the most awesome shepherd out here in Midian. Like, be encouraged, be blessed, be on your way. That'd be awesome. That is like a good day for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd just be brilliant if God could just say something like really uplifting. Like, Moses, love your outfit today, man. Great choice. You're so faithful how you lead the goats from one patch to another. It's a little bit like me, the big shepherd, the great shepherd. We have something in common. Fantastic, bro. Be on your way. You're going to have a really blessed day today. That's what we love. We have selective hearing when it comes to what we hear from God. Do you know what I mean? Like, what we like to hear are things like words of comfort. That's what we want to hear from God. We actually want to hear words like, you are enough. Be at rest. We want to hear like, be still. And you know, we posted on Instagram, somebody needs to hear this today. Be kind to yourself. Love it. We never post stuff like, someone needs to hear this today. You need to go back to the place of your former shame and relieve 1.5 million people out of slavery. Someone needs to hear that today. We don't. We like to choose what we want to hear from God. And yet, if you were to truly journey with God in daily conversation, when you have your burning bush moments in the everyday, you got to ask yourself, why would God even speak to us? God speaks to us because he wants to reveal his heart to us. And if you walk and talk with God enough, you actually find out that God has far more on his mind than just you. What do you mean? Like, it would be fantastic if I was the only person on God's mind. Like, it was just me and him, and like he was just occupied with me. That'd be awesome. He was occupied with my needs. He was occupied with what I want. How do you know that? If you actually hear from God enough, eventually he'll share with you what's heavy on his heart. See, this is what I love about intercessors. When they talk to God, they take on what is on God's heart. And if you were to hear God enough, if you were to interact with him and talk to him daily, if you have your burning bush moments in the everyday, inevitably, yes, God will give you words of comfort. Yes, God will give you all the things you want to post on Facebook that's really uplifting. Absolutely. But eventually, God will give you his heart. He'll reveal to you what is weighing predominantly on his mind, and that is people that don't have him the way you have him. Ultimately, if you were to talk to God, all of your conversations with him will always end up with the word go. Here is Moses. And he's engaging with God in conversation. He's totally settled in Midian. He's totally cruisy. It's like, this is a good life. I feel blessed. Be encouraging today. If the bush just told me, you're doing really well, fantastic. No, as God begins to unfold the conversation, it inevitably ended with the word, go. Think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus was rolling with his 12 disciples, right? Every day he hung out with them for 3 years, 3.5 years. And like, these guys were so distraught when Jesus went to the cross because they thought to themselves, who are we going to hang out with now? Our Savior is gone. Like, the Messiah, our leader is gone. Like, what are we going to do? Like, he guided us. He led us. He ate with us. He was our company. He helped us. He showed us how to do things. 3 days, they completely stressed out when Jesus was dead. They thought he was never going to come back. This is the end. They all went into hiding. 3 days later, Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And he reappears to his disciples. If I was the disciples, I'd be thinking, man, the first thing you'd be hearing out of Jesus' mouth is, bros, I'm back. Let's hang. We're going to be cruising together. We're going to be rolling together. Fantastic. I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to restore you. I know you're all a little bit scared. Let me just wrap my arms around you. But this is what God says. He said, this is what Jesus says, Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. If you were to truly hear from God, and I think that's why we don't really want to hear from God very much. Because if you would truly hear from God, he will actually tell you what's on his mind. And I can tell you what's on his mind. It's in scripture everywhere. It's the redemption of a lost humanity back to himself. If you were to truly hear from God, if you want to have a burning bush moment with God, he'll inevitably tell you his heart for people that don't have him the way you have him. It always ends up in go. The third learning from Exodus 3 is that your burning bush moment, it's not always there to comfort you, but it's to activate you. Come on, are you out there? It's there to activate you. So here is Moses, burning bush. There's something in there. And then God reveals himself, Moses, Moses, here I am. Yeah. Take your shoes off, huh? So he takes his shoes off. And then God starts to unfold this burden that he's got for these people. They were in bondage. Moses is not so keen anymore suddenly. And he starts to argue back with God. How many of you have had arguments with God? Me and like 4 other people. Come on.
Like when you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like what you're telling me, God. And you have these arguments. I'm like, I go a lawyer with God. Like, oh, I have like a list of things and I'm bam, 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 thinking I can outsmart God. Moses does the same thing. He says this, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? The first argument we often give when God tells us to go, when he speaks to us about what's on his heart, we have the argument of identity. Who am I? Who am I, God? Don't you know that I'm still struggling with this sin issue? Don't you know that my life's still really messy? I'm barely coping with this life sometimes. You know, don't you know anything about who I am? God, if you truly know who I was, God, you would never be asking me to go. Come on. If that is you and you constantly argue with God about your identity, you need to know that you were created in Christ Jesus. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. If he's sending you, then you need to know you were created for it. Okay, God, I can't win on that one. How about this one, God? Moses then said, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? That's also a good argument. I often have that with God, is the argument of authority. I just don't have authority there, God. I just don't have authority. I'm not anointed enough. Have you ever said that to God? Don't make me talk to that family that just moved in down our street because I'm just not anointed enough. I don't know what to say. Remember what Jesus, if that is your argument with God, remember Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, so now go. If you're in Christ and he's sending you, then you have all the authority you need. Okay, I can't win on that one, God. So Moses then says, well, pardon your servant, Lord, but I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. In other words, before you called me, now after that, I still can't speak. I am slow of speech and tongue. Is the argument of competency. Like, I'm just not good enough, God. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not intelligent enough. I don't know what to say. What if, like, you know, the workmate that you're asking me to speak to share my faith with, what if they ask me, like, questions I don't know how to answer? What if they ask me if God created dinosaurs? Did God create dinosaurs? I don't know. Like, I'm not very smart. It's a question of competency. Like, we're in this place where we don't want God, please, don't ask me to go because I just don't know how to do this. I want to encourage you, if he's sending you, he'll equip you. Okay, I can't win on that either, God. And then Moses pulls out like the ultimate trump card and he says this, pardon your servant, Lord, could you just please send somebody else? I'm running out of arguments, but this one you surely can't argue back. Just send somebody else is the argument of replaceability. You can just sub me out. I'm not your guy. I'm not your girl. Have you seen me? I'm not the... Can you ask someone single because they have so much more time? Like, can you ask Pastor Ken Fletcher because he's like a real pastor? He's got like a credential and like a PS in front of his name. I'm like nobody. Can you please sub me out? It's the argument of replaceability. I want to say this to you today. If God is speaking to you, he has chosen you. You are his, come on, your identity is in Christ. All authority has been given to him so you can go. Come on, if he's going to send you, he'll equip you. And you are not replaceable. You are in your family, in that workplace, in that neighborhood for a reason. God cannot swap you out. God chose a random Midianite goat herder who's lost in his identity. Am I a Jew? Am I an Egyptian? I don't know. But what I do know is that I don't want to go back there because that's the place of my shame and that's the place of my pain and I'm not cut out for it. I'm good at calling out to sheep. I can't speak to people. I don't know how to do this, God. And yet, God shares the burden of his heart for him. One ordinary guy liberated 1.5 million people out of bondage. What makes you think he can't use you for your street? What makes you think he can't get you to get those people to church? Come on. What makes you think he can't let you share your story? Every person here is irreplaceable when it comes to the call of God. Your burning bush moment is your burning bush moment. It's time for the church to start seeing past our own noses and say, I am God's vehicle of choice. God chose me. I don't know, I'm not feeling really confident right now in myself, but God saw it fit enough for me to have a living, breathing day today. And if I'm alive, I'm going to live it with purpose. And I don't want my Christianity to just be about, God, what are you going to be blessing me with today? But God, would you have a burning bush moment with me, because I know where this is going to end up. You're going to ask me to go. You're going to be asking me to look up from my phone screen and actually, you know, smile at that dude that always makes eye contact with me on the bus, because I know that he's wanting to ask me something, and maybe he's seeing something in my life. Come on, are you out there? We miss all of these moments because we're so easily being distracted by things that shouldn't distract us. But we can't give God the attention when he wants to give, when he wants our attention. My message today is really simple. Every single person here, start having incredible burning bush moments in your everyday. And when you do, you will actually hear God share his heart with you about his heart for the world. I find it incredible, musicians, you can join me. I find it really incredible, right, that God would entrust the gospel to us. Have you seen the person next to you? Like, God would actually entrust the gospel to the dude sitting next to you, the girl that's right on your left shoulder. Come on. Like, have you ever wondered, like, God, if that is your heart for the Israelite nation, you've seen how they've been brutally oppressed, how they've been in bondage. Surely God would have said, Moses, I got all of this burden, and I'm going to send my legions of angels to sort out the Israelites. Oh, they're going to absolutely sort out the Egyptians and liberate the Israelites. Oh, man, we're going to sort out Pharaoh and his army, and we'll just, the angels will take care of it. No, he speaks to a goat herder. I wonder today if you're in this place and the enemy has lied to you about you. And the enemy has lied to you about why you're here on the earth. And has told you that you can't have burning bush moments with God because you're not good enough. God can't speak to you about how fruitful you can be because you were born a certain race. You're born a certain ethnicity. You're not from the right side of town. You don't have the right education. You haven't been a Christian long enough. You still got issues in your life. Maybe today, my prayer for us is that in this service, we're going to be awakened, that ordinary people like you and I can have burning bush moments where God shares his heart for a world around us. That maybe, just maybe, we are the right people, God's vehicle of choice to reach our lost world. You know, when Jesus said, go into all the world, the word world is the word cosmos. It's not the physical world, because it's clearly impossible for us individually to go into physically all of the world. But the word cosmos means your world. What's your world? What's Shannon Hopper's world? It's the street that he lives in. It's the daycare community that he sees when he drops Shiloh off. It's the person that serves him at the shop. It's the local waitress that serves him his breakfast at the Saturday morning cafe. Are you following me so far? What is your world? See, we try and think that and extrapolate that this call of God is this nebulous, spectacular thing for only the amazingly awesome people. But it's for you and I. And if you were willing and able to actually open up your heart to what God thinks about the world you live in, I promise you, inevitably, that conversation will end up with the word, go. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Is it helpful to you guys?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.